One of the most important events of all the centuries would be a meeting on a mountain near Galilee, where a small group of men were given a command for carrying God's love and forgiveness to a lost and dying world. On this mountain, these men received the greatest challenge ever given to mankind by the greatest man who ever lived, concerning the greatest power ever revealed, and the greatest promise ever recorded. That's a lot of greatness. I am referring to the Great Commission of Jesus Christ, which he gave to his disciples, and through them to us. Please follow along as we read in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 through 20. New Living Translation. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Who gave the Great Commission? Who else but Jesus can say, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth"? This same Jesus has complete authority over everything and everyone, everywhere. He is the source of the Great Commission. As Creator, Jesus has the original right to all things. Every question, every response, every command carries with it the stamp of his authority. These disciples go to Galilee, the mountain, where Jesus told them he would meet them. Pay attention that they followed his instructions and they made themselves available. Have you ever been in a situation where your intent was to show gratitude and be a blessing, and you turned out to be the one that got blessed instead? I have, and it was about this time last year. My daddy had been sick in and out of the hospital, and he was sent home from the ER and he was given a prescription. I quickly realized that this necessary drug was very expensive and it was in short supply. I was in a panic and I was trying to control the situation. So I go to the local pharmacy to pick the medicine up, only to find out they didn't have any in stock. Later, I got a call back from the pharmacist who explained to me the dilemma. He stayed on the phone with me for over 30 minutes, placing me on hold while he attempted to find the nearest pharmacy that had what my daddy so desperately needed. I was so grateful for his special care and concern, and I later found out that he purposely discounted the amount. I was so relieved. Do you know the greatest ability that you can give God is your availability? Remember, the disciples were just ordinary men, complete with all a man's normal faults and failures. Jesus chose them from various professions and walks of life. The amazing thing that we read in the gospel accounts is that when Jesus had called these men, they left whatever it was they had previously been doing and they followed. You may be thinking, "I'm not capable." And yep, we aren't capable, but God is more than capable. We only need to make ourselves available. God has designed and made you just the way you are. You don't have to be like the person that lives next door to you or somebody that you know in checkout line at the grocery store. You don't even have to be like anybody that you go to church with. If you're a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ, God can use you. As a disciple, how then can we fulfill this Great Commission? Well, we can begin by following the instructions that are given in verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. If you're taking notes, use this shorthand. Go and make disciples. Baptize. Teach. You notice in this passage that it says, go and make disciples of all the nations. What did that say? Some? Part of? It says all the nations. Here's a concise definition of the word all, including everything or everyone without exception, whole or entire. So as Christians, we're the ones that need to make the effort to go. And as we go, we may be in places that make us feel uncomfortable and force us to leave our comfort zone to reach out to people that are different from us. As a church, I really can't think of any other agenda greater than that of sharing the gospel. Jesus preached the gospel, he lived the gospel, and he died for the sake of our salvation. And then he commissioned us to share this good news with the world around us. I was in a drive-thru this week, and the attendant was so pleasant when she took my order. As I moved up in the line, I could hear her taking orders of the people that were behind me. And every single time, she was so polite and pleasant. When I reached the window, I said, thank you for being kind and happy. And she says, well, I try to be. And I said, how do you do it all day long? She replied, I just keep moving. And then she blessed me, and I went on my way. What a way for us to live. Making the effort to go, and carrying the good news with us everywhere. An aspect of making disciples is teaching to observe all that has been commanded. This process of learning to do all that Jesus commanded is a lifelong action. Pastor sometimes says that we're here on earth being trained, and once we've figured it out, then Jesus calls us home. Making a disciple is not an educational exercise. It's the interaction of your life with someone. Share how Jesus has and is changing your life. Tell them who you used to be and who you are becoming through God's grace. Disciple making is intentional. We know exactly what we're doing. In the earlier part of Matthew, Jesus says, come and follow me. I will send you out to fish for people. And we, in turn, are asking others to come and follow Jesus with us together. It's intentional. The last commandment given by Jesus could be considered marching orders, a training manual for life and ministry. Our fellowship, our outreach, even our worship all revolves around being and making disciples. John 13 says that love must be the distinguishing mark of a disciple, that you love one another just as I have loved you. This is the kind of love that makes a great difference. The Great Commission ends with a great promise. Jesus is with us always, even to the end of the age. If Christ was not with us, we could not hope to complete or even begin this task. His presence gives us purpose, encouragement, and authority. With Jesus, all things are possible. The mission of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. So not only are we called to be disciples, but also disciple makers. Take some time to research about discipling. There is so much to read about that. I ran across an article that was called Front Yard Intentional Conversations, and I'd like to share some of that with you. Why am I telling you my whole life story? Kay asked, as she realized that a front yard conversation with Ann and Tom Burke had become very deep and vulnerable. The Burks knew why she had opened up. They had been gently intentional and prayerful about creating a safe and a comfortable atmosphere to connect with their neighbors in their front yard, Putting a table and chairs in front of our front yard has helped create an environment of connection and shared. We started with a front porch, but I read about how a turquoise table on a lawn can draw attention and offer a place to linger. So we took that step, rather than always putting it and it being in our backyard. Tom would often sit in the front yard in the morning reading his Bible and praying for the neighbors. And if someone stopped by and asked what he was doing, he would tell them. He said their reaction was always positive. Tom says, "I don't consider myself a gifted evangelist, but I do know that an authentic relationship is key. And as we get to know people and build relationships, we can go deeper with those who seem open to reading the Bible and interacting with Jesus. We keep it simple." Could connecting with those that live nearby be as simple as putting a table and chair in your front yard? Might be. Sometimes being available and approachable is all it takes is to create that intentional opportunity for a spiritual conversation. Have you ever seen that sign on above a door that says you are now entering the mission field? Well, this field is wherever we go. Maybe for some it's traveling to a remote region of the world, beyond a civilized city into a jungle or a desert. Or maybe the mission field can be very close to home. Could be a neighbor who has not heard the good news. Or maybe a section of town that you go in that you look around and you realize these people don't even have enough to eat. They certainly don't have any Bibles. The internet has become a mission field where people can reach out and share Christ's love. The places and people who need to hear the gospel are everywhere. And as we reflect on this command of the Great Commission, accept the challenge to help take Jesus' message of love and forgiveness to every person, in every community, in every city, in every country of the world, and make disciples of all nations. Here's the rest of the story about my pharmacist. It was after my daddy had passed that I felt that I should go and properly thank my angel, the one that had helped us during our time of need. I was in my car and I was headed out to the northeast side of town. Before I go any further, I have a secret that I need to share. Right up here at the intersection of Bearno Road and Highway 90 is where I often practice listening to God's voice. You can go ahead and laugh if you want to. But I'm headed to the interstate. I look and I ask God which way to turn. Both directions are about the same time and distance. At least that's what Travis says. But my favorite way to go is always towards the left to the Midway interchange. There are days that I ask which way, God, and the traffic clears in the direction that he wants me to go. This particular day, it wasn't me who was asking, but God telling me which way I should go. I felt in my spirit that I should turn to the right and go to Walgreens, thank the pharmacist who had helped us. Well, I was in a hurry. My to-do list was very important, and I had to get there. So I disobeyed. I headed left going towards Midway. I got onto I-10, and as I was approaching the Capitol Circle exit, the voice inside my heart was getting louder and louder, and it felt like the car wanted to take over. So I said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go to the Walgreens." Well, once I got inside the store, I was told that the pharmacist was scheduled to be there, but he was running late. So I decided to wait and wait and wait. Does some of you know that I don't like to wait? Well, about 30 minutes, I decided that a short note on the back of my business card would fulfill my obligation and I'd be on my way. So I'm standing outside at my car writing this little note when I look up and I see him walking towards the entrance. And I said, "Hey, I know you don't remember me." And he said, "Oh, yes, I do. He said, I remember you. You're Tina. I proceeded to tell him how much of a blessing he had been to me and my family, and that he had been and answered our prayers. And then he looked at me and he says, I know exactly how you feel. I lost my dad last summer. It was a medication issue. I could not believe it. This was not a coincidence. This was part of God's plan. When I go up to Walgreens, I see him on a regular basis, and we chat up a storm. We always find out how each other's doing, what's been going on in our lives. I know most of you will not be traveling the world to share God's love with somebody. But what about your world? Where's your world? You ever feel a nudge in your heart to visit or talk to someone or share with someone in your world? Listen to this song, this next song that Travis is going to play, and I hope that you will be touched.